we're going to sing a few hymns together. There will never be a sweeter story of the Savior's love divine. Love that brought him from the realms of glory just to save a sinful soul like mine. We'll keep our seats as we sing. Shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. Jesus, I heard an old story how a Savior came from glory.
Thank you.
opening hymn tonight is one of my favorites, When We All Get to Heaven, 331 in our hymn book. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Joshua Moffat's here tonight. He's been up for a few days holiday. I'm going to ask him to come and lead us to the throne of grace in prayer. Thank you.
Let's unite our hearts together in prayer. Let's pray and seek the Lord's face. Heavenly Father, we do thank thee that as we gather round tonight under the sound of the gospel, that we can sing about the victory that is in Jesus. Father, we thank thee today that the church, though oppressed, is not defeated, for there is victory in Christ. We thank thee that the children of God can sing, nay, shout the victory tonight. And Lord, what a joy it is to our hearts to know that there's victory through the blood, victory for sin, victory to open wide the gates of heaven and let us in, because of what Christ wrought for us at Calvary. Lord, truly we say tonight that in Christ alone my hope is found. Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for this church here on Market Street. We thank thee for the gospel witness that it has and maintains. And Father, we pray that tonight, as we have drawn near under the sound of the gospel, that Lord, you would be one of our number. Lord, come and stand beside us here tonight, we pray thee. Give help even to Darren and to Daphne as they would come and testify of the Lord's redeeming grace. give help to our own pastor here, that thou wouldst anoint him with that holy fire, and Lord, that he would preach with zeal and with great unction from above. Heavenly Father, we pray that thou wouldst touch the work here, every aspect, from the children's work to the Bible class to everything that this church is engaged in. Lord, cause thy face to shine upon it, we pray. And what we pray for Hebron, we pray for all of our sister churches. We pray it for Bangor. We pray it for every other work associated in our land. Lord, we pray for everywhere where the Bible is preached and the blood of Christ is uplifted. Lord, we sang it this morning, but we really mean it. Revive us again. Heavenly Father, we need revival. Let it begin tonight. Let it begin in my heart. Let it begin in the hearts of this thy people as we consider all that Christ wrought and purchased for us on Calvary. Oh, Heavenly Father, Northern Ireland needs a Savior. We don't need a new political party. We don't need a government upheaval. We need Christ. And Father, we pray that Christ would come to Northern Ireland and you'd come sweeping through like a rushing, mighty wind. Oh, Heavenly Father, come, we pray thee. We do ask for the mission field tonight. We do pray that each one of our missionaries would know the special help of God. We pray for Afghanistan especially, a country so reported in the news. Lord, we pray for the church there. We pray for all thy people from Afghanistan. Lord, be with them in this time of persecution and affliction. And Lord, we pray that even in Afghanistan, even in this country quick becoming ruled by Taliban oppression, but Lord, you would raise up a church for thy own name's sake. Lord, we thank thee for the promise of Christ that I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Heavenly Father, build thy church tonight, we pray. Build it here in Hebron. Oh Lord, give us the great joy tonight of seeing men and women and young people brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, we can listen to the reports of those from yesteryear speaking of how at the end of services, people walk the aisles in droves wanting to be counseled. Lord, do it again, we pray. Lord, bring such a move of God that the world will not be able to deny it. And Lord, we pray tonight that you would grant soul winners joy to our pastor here and that souls will be ushered in to full salvation. Heavenly Father, draw near. Bless each heart. Warm each heart, we pray. And revive us again, we ask. We pray in Jesus' all-worthy and all-victorious name. Amen.
Thank you, Joshua. And we do welcome you and Lee and the family back to your home congregation here in Ballymoney. We take the opportunity to bid you all a very warm word of welcome. We have a few visitors tonight. Most of them are sitting near the front here. It's good to have Desi. Desi is no stranger to us, and his wife Daphne. We'll hear from Daphne later on. Desi's originally from Portavogie. Darren is from Portavogie, but Desi sort of got a wee bit more refined, and he moved up to the town into Newton Ards. But it's good to have Desi. When I first met him, I thought he was a strange wee man. And when I got to know him, I realized he was. So, Desi, you're very welcome, as always, here in Ballymoney. And behind you, Vandy and Doreen, they've been a great encouragement to us, especially when it comes to missionary work. And these other friends that have come along with you tonight, and Sam, of course, he would sing a lot for Desi. And we just bid you welcome in the Savior's name. Desi has a group up in the Lodge Hotel starting tomorrow, but they get the opportunity, a few of them, to come a little bit earlier. And some have come for tonight's meeting. So welcome. And welcome to those that are listening in on Sermon Audio or on Facebook or YouTube over the internet. We're glad to have you. Now, at the midweek service on Thursday night at 8 o'clock, we want to start a new series of messages on the subject, the wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. Do pray for us as we take up this subject over the next little while. There'll be special prayer for the Christian school on Thursday night. Friday is presbytery. That will be by Zoom at 8 o'clock for the elders. The youth fellowship will recommence the following week, but they'll be traveling to the martyrs. It's a special youth council rally at the martyrs that night. Next Lord's Day, we gather for prayer at 8 o'clock. The Sunday school and the Bible class recommence at 10:30 in-house. They'll be coming in, the children and the young people coming in under certain guidelines, of course. Worship service, 12 noon, we continue with our meditations in Mark's Gospel, And then at night, we're having a valedictory service for our students going back to Bible College. So please remember all these services and pray for them. Thank you sincerely for your tithes and offerings to God's work. Your missionary contributions have been very much appreciated. Now, the Sunday School, God willing, is having an IT upgrade. We mentioned this a few weeks ago. We made a wee appeal. And new equipment for the Sunday School classes is what we have in mind. You know that at school now and in every form of young people's lives, that they're used to technology. And just really to give that facility for every Sunday School teacher in every classroom, we are getting TV screens installed in 16 different classrooms. And this is a very, very good price. We could not do this privately ourselves, but Philip Irwin has very, very kindly got a price for us, £287 each, and that's fully installed. That's the brackets, the fittings, the cables, etc. So we talked to the committee, and I said, well, I will personally try to raise £2,000 towards that. So people, don't let me down. Even if it's just a fiver, will be very much appreciated if you just let us know you can help with this. We want our children to be well instructed, and this is an investment in the children, an investment in the young people growing up in our church as they are taught the Word of God week by week. We've had open airs all through the months of August, 5 Lord's Days in the month, and this was the final one. We went out to the little village of Balnamore, and there was a good number came to stand with us and sing and recite the Word of God. So thank you sincerely in the Lord's great name, and thank you especially to Ryan, who brought the Word. A lot of work was taking place over at the school, tidying up and cleaning up. Thank you to the team that came in to do that work. There's a little bit of work still to do, as you know, and the church was contracted out also to get painted, so you'll notice it's nice and bright and white out there. It needed to be done. We had a lovely time on Friday evening. The young people came to the manse. We had a barbecue in the garden, and we all enjoyed a wonderful time of fellowship with our young people. So thank you, young people, for coming and being part of that evening with us. We enjoyed ourselves, and I trust that you did likewise. We had a lovely opportunity to preach in Pakistan this morning to this remote group, and to pray with some of the young people that needed special prayer. And this is just a little view of the congregation, some of the people that we were able to minister to, and some money had been sent out just to get these poor people a little package of food, each family to take home with them. We are still supporting, of course, the building of the school, the Carmichael School in Pakistan, and it has reached that place where the roof is going on. You want to pray for these children, about 50 of them, that are getting an education in the academics, but also in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember especially De Panker in his work. He's studying with our Bible College, but he's also teaching these young people the doctrines of God, and we are fully supporting him in this outreach work. And these are new booklets to give out to the young people to teach them the truths of the Lord. And we continue to support the Indian Orphan Project. 90 children are being supported with food every single day through the year, and that's just a few of the children who are benefiting. I just want personally again to thank you for those that were involved in the shoes and the clothes that went to Romania this week. We shipped it on Thursday. It'll arrive in the early part of this week, and there's another pallet almost ready to be out, to go out to another part of Romania, this time to the city of Timișoara. It'll be sent to Deborah House, and it'll be shared among the poor as well. I'm very glad to announce that the shoebox appeal, the money has been raised for that project. We'll be getting the items together and getting that sent out towards Christmas time, beginning of December. There is the revival conference taking place in Coleraine. Do remember the incoming week. If you're free any of the nights, Monday through to Wednesday, you'll be made most welcome there. I think that's all the announcements that I need to make. We're going to sing a hymn of testimony just before Darren comes to share with us through Daphne his testimony tonight. And this is the believer's testimony hymn. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord or to defend his cause, maintain the honor of his word, the glory of his cross. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. Let's sing this hymn together. Darren, we're delighted to have you tonight to give a word of testimony. You're from Port of Ogie. It has a very special place in my heart. And we're going to invite you now to come to the front. And Daphne, for your assistance, thank you in the Savior's name for coming tonight and doing what you have to do. So please come forward to be hear this wonderful testimony. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Park, first of all, for the invitation for Darren to give his testimony. It's always a privilege to give a testimony, and we just thank the Lord that Darren has a testimony to give. Before we give his testimony, he always would like to read, it's a well-known verse, everybody will know it, John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's a very special verse for Darren. I have a few wee notes here because I have to try and do it right for him because he tells me what to say. You told me what to say. Darren was born on the 16th of August, 1973, and he has a twin brother, Lawson. They're both from Portavogie, as Mr. Park said. They were born with physical disabilities and are profoundly deaf. Now, after they were born, Darren's mum took very ill, so his Auntie Jean's here tonight. And you might hear me referring to Auntie Jean a lot, but she plays a big part in Darren's life. She took Darren home along with his Uncle Hugh to stay with him just for a short while. But you're still with Auntie Jean. So Darren never went back home again. But thankfully, he was brought up in a Christian home. So he was sent along to Sunday school, and that's where the Word of God was taught as well, faithful Sunday school teachers. And he also, when he went to school, his teacher, Miss Beck, she would have told him Bible stories. So from a very early age, you knew about the things of God. Did you like school? No, he didn't like school. But you did okay. He was sent to London to receive... We're showing off a wee bit here. He was sent to London to receive a Child Achievement Award. So you were all right in school. But we'll skip the school. And after you left school, he got a job with the NHS. And then he learned to drive and he got a car. But with the car, unfortunately, you started to go to places maybe you shouldn't have went. You got a bit more independence. And the thing that Darren really liked was the bookies. He took a real liking for the gambling. Even when I remember when you were a teenager, he came on holidays with us and we lost you on the boat. And Uncle Desi says, I think I know where he'll be. And sure enough, Desi went and found him, and he was on a gaming machine. So from teenage years, you did like gambling, but it did progress worse. And every Saturday, you would have went to the bookies. And his Auntie Jean told me that you were quite good at the bookies because you used to win money. But she told you that her and your Uncle Hugh says that wasn't good, that you needed to be saved, and that they were praying for you. But for your 30th birthday, you got a Bible. And he started to, you would have read it sometimes. He tells me that he put it beside his bed and he left it there. And now and again, he would have read it. But because of your Sunday school days and that, you would have asked Auntie Jean a lot of questions. And you were asking her about heaven and about hell. And Auntie Jean, she did a good job with him, I must admit. But you went with Auntie Jean there. You started to go to church a wee bit more. And you would have read your Bible a bit more. So he went with his Auntie Jean one night to see your cousin's husband getting baptised. And he asked his Auntie Jean then, that led to more questions. And he asked his Auntie Jean, how can you get to heaven? And his Auntie Jean simply told him that you needed to be saved, that you needed to be sorry for your sins and ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart. And so it was on January the 18th, 2008, that Darren came down and he told his Auntie Jean that he had got saved. And Auntie Jean says to him, but how do you know? And Darren told her that, showed her the Bible it was, and he says, John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world and that meant you. And his Auntie Jean says, do you believe this? And he said he did. And you know, there was a real change come into Darren's life. Darren had no desire again to go to the bookies. He didn't go back to the bookies. And his brother Lawson would have bought you a paper every day. Now, I think it was for the horses to see what horses were running. But you told Lawson not to buy you the paper anymore because he was saved. You see, there was a real change took place. But you know, after the Lord saves you, he doesn't just leave you and you go on your Christian life on your own. The Lord directed your path and still is. And Darren wanted to go to a church. So you went with Auntie Jean to her church. And then you went with your other auntie to your daddy's church. But for some reason, one Sunday night, what church did you go to? Portavogie Free Presbyterian. And you're still there. So that was the church that kept him. But you know, the Reverend Armstrong was your minister. And he was so helpful to Darren because he would have printed out the sermons and he would have given you the sermons. Sometimes I say, but I am only joking. If you need a sermon, see Darren. But if Mr. Armstrong ever hears that, he wouldn't give them away. Sure you wouldn't. No. But he never misses his church. Now, you have to remember, Darren can't hear and he can't speak. He can't hear the lovely hymns that we were singing the night that thrilled our hearts. It really helps the meeting when you hear the singing. He can't hear the minister explaining the word of God. But he wants to be in God's house with God's people. And again, it was a challenge to us as a family. Have we ever made an excuse, maybe some night coming in from work and we're tired and it's a bad night and maybe we've said, oh, I had a hard day at work today. I think I'll sit in tonight. But you know, we're missing out on a blessing. And Darren, all these difficulties, Darren, you don't miss your meetings as far as possible. But you know, even so, Darren got saved. It doesn't mean that life would be rosy anymore. Darren has had his fair share of trials. There was a certain person who gave you a hard time. And of course, his Auntie Jean and all us, we were a wee bit cross with the person. But Darren said, no, that you were saved and that God knew the truth. And while he was visiting one of his aunties, the Reverend Armstrong was there. And he read the scriptures before they left. And Darren came home. You got your Bible and showed Auntie Jean 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And that was just Darren simply saying, Auntie Jean, don't worry. God will look after me. Darren knew that God was with him and he was seeing through it. But then a real difficult time came when his mum died. And then 2 years later, he had an older brother, Rodney, and Rodney died. But Darren had proved the Lord through this as well. He showed that he was trusting in the Lord through all this. And then you started to go on holidays with Desi. And before you had all these PowerPoints, you used to give the hymn books out. And then he started to give a word of testimony. And it was Auntie Jean gave your testimony one night, said how you got saved. And there was a man in the meeting, and the church had been praying for this man for years, and his wife was praying for him. And that night he was really challenged when he heard how the Lord had saved Darren. And he went up to his room and couldn't settle until he found the Lord a saviour. And I think he came down the next morning and said to Desi, you can now call me brother. But he also goes to the churches when asked, and you went to the Cumber Church. And we prayed really hard for that meeting. There was just a wee thing that we wanted to be sure of. And we asked the Lord to show us that this was all of him. And he went to the meeting that night, gave his testimony. And then the Reverend Murray, it was then, he texted Darren to tell him that a girl had got saved. Now, why I'm telling you this, it's nothing that Darren has done. Darren can't do anything. He can't save no one. But it was the Lord that saved these people. But Darren was willing. That's all the Lord asked us to do, is to be willing and to serve him, and he'll do the rest. Although, like, he has the difficulties, he wants to serve the Lord. You want to serve the Lord, isn't that right? And he had two uncles. One of them took very ill, and the family were all up at the hospital. And Darren was there too. And Darren said to his Auntie Jean, we need to get somebody to come and pray or to speak to Uncle because he's not saved. Another uncle took terminally ill, and Darren found a way of telling his uncle his need of a saviour. He started to text your uncle. Every day he would text some scripture verse to let him know the need of a saviour. Again, is that not a challenge to you and me? We can speak, we can tell others, but Darren can't. But again, he is willing to do these things, and he did the texts. But you know, his Auntie Jean, he's been a real blessing to his Auntie Jean. I believe the Lord put Darren with his Auntie Jean and Uncle Hugh. You see, his uncle took not well. Uncle Hugh took not well. And Darren now can help his Auntie Jean. His uncle has gone to be with the Lord, but before that he couldn't communicate the same. And Darren could communicate with his Auntie Jean. And she tells me that she knows when he's up in his bedroom, you're up praying for people and praying for your family. But then he'll come down to his Auntie Jean with all these wee bits of paper, and he'll say to her, read those. He's writing scripture verses for his Auntie Jean. So she's maybe not reading her Bible enough, you think. So he's keeping an eye on his Auntie Jean. Then Darren, he felt that he needed to be baptised. He wanted to obey the Lord and get him baptised. And so his Auntie Jean and the Reverend Armstrong started to make arrangements. Now, when you live in Port of Ogie, I think they still do this, I'm not sure, they go down to the sea to get baptised in Port of Ogie. Where were you baptised? Well, Darren went to the Radisson Hotel. It was then in Limavady. And Paul Alford, he was the manager there, and he kind of gave permission for Darren to be baptised. And, you know, that was a lovely day. It was an emotional day to see Darren being baptised. But a lot of the family came that wasn't saved. So, again, that was another witness for Darren. And, you know, as I said, Darren can't speak, but he's found other ways to serve the Lord. Again, it puts you to shame. You're on Facebook, and you'll put scripture verses on Facebook, and you'll even put on it, I've seen Darren Bailey reading his Bible. And then he also, oh, they're in my handbag, he brought his wee gospel tract, and I brought a few in Mr. Parth there. If you want one, you can see him and get one. He got his testimony printed in a gospel tract, and we're so thankful that it was ready before your daddy died, so his daddy was able to see the gospel tract. But you know, Darren has a hope that he'll see his mummy and your brother and your daddy someday, because they all have went to be with the Lord too. You know, he always wants to finish his testimony by saying, should there be one here listening, should it be in the church or on social media, that if you're not saved, your heart's desire is for someone to be saved. This is why he gives his testimony. It's very nervous standing up here for him as well. But you know, just at the end of this month, Darren's mommy will be 13 years dead. And it was very sudden. Darren's mommy was talking on the phone just after 11 one night. And before 12 o'clock that night, that his mom had gone to be with the Lord. It was so quick. And that's maybe somebody here and you're thinking of getting saved. You know you need to be saved, but you keep putting it off. Remember, you don't know what a day will bring. The Lord could just take you tonight. You don't know. And this is why Darren wants to share his testimony, that you would come to know his Saviour, because he wants you to someday be in heaven with him. But also, if you have, maybe you're here and you have troubles or problems and you can't tell anyone, maybe you're feeling nobody cares or you're all alone, remember, God is always there with you. Those believers are worrying. The Lord is with you. And the verse, try and remember the verse that Darren got. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Amen.
Thank you very much, Darren and Daphne. And Jean, good to see you tonight. I've got these wee tracts. We'll get them to the door. And if anyone would like one, you can pick one up as you leave this evening. Will you turn with me to Acts chapter 26? So I was thinking of tonight's meeting, and it's a testimony meeting, Darren coming to give his testimony. I was thinking about this testimony that we read about in Acts chapter 26, and I want to read it with you tonight. So do follow the Word of God. We may read a little bit more than we normally do, but the Word of God is precious, and what the Word of God says to our hearts now is far more important than any other explanation that I might give. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when they were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. And he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in the corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. We'll end the reading there at verse 29. As I thought about this testimony night, I thought I would ask the congregation this evening, each individual that is here, have you a testimony to God's saving grace? Has there been a moment in your experience when you turned from your sin unto God, repenting of that sin and by faith laying hold upon Jesus Christ as your Savior? Can you say there was a day in my earthly pilgrimage when I was saved? I was brought to understand the gospel, that I was a sinner before God. I was condemned. I was unclean. I was separated from God. I was condemned to die and to die forevermore in that awful place called hell. But Christ revealed himself to me as the one who could save me from my sin, and I turned by faith to him. And yes, preacher, there was the day when I was converted, the day when I was saved. The testimony is the account of a person's conversion to Christ and then the life that is lived thereafter. There's always the two aspects. In fact, it's really one. From the moment of conversion, then the life that is lived for the glory of God. It is to have that certainty of sins forgiven, peace with God, and assurance about the future. It is to be able to declare with confidence that you are rightly related to God and that you know that it is well with your immortal soul. It is to be able to say with the patriarch Job, I know that my Redeemer liveth. To say with King David, the Lord is my shepherd. To say with Solomon, I am my beloved's and my beloved's is mine. To say with Isaiah, he was wounded for my transgressions. To say with Peter, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. To say with the beloved John, now are we the sons of God. And to say with the great apostle Paul, whose testimony we have read this evening, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. In Acts chapter 26, Paul is giving his testimony before King Agrippa. He's relating his conversion day, the story of how he met Christ. And in the light of this and the light of the testimony that we've heard this evening, I'm asking this simple question, have you a testimony? Could you stand up as Darren did this evening, as Paul does now, standing before King Agrippa, as every true child of God in this meeting could stand up and declare your testimony the day that you met Christ and were saved by grace? I want to think about this testimony of the great apostle, and really is the testimony of every Christian in one way or another. And I want to say to you, first of all, that in every testimony, there's a sinful past. Paul is speaking here about his background, his strict religious upbringing. Paul was a thoroughbred Jew through and through. Indeed, he was a Pharisee, as he declares in verse 5, which were the strictest group of the Jewish faith. Pharisees were devout men. They were often very sincere and zealous about their beliefs. They were the Orthodox Jews who professed to believe the Bible and the doctrines of God, as opposed to the Sadducees, who rejected much of divine revelation and the great doctrines of the Bible, like the resurrection. The Pharisees are mentioned about 98 times in the New Testament, mostly in the Gospels. It is understood that the root meaning of the word Pharisee is separate, and that gives us food for thought. They were separate from other clerics of their religion. They were separate from the common people. They were separate from the Gentiles. They were separate from political groups. And you might even say that they considered themselves separate unto God. However, they added much tradition and observances and ceremonies to their religion, and so it became cumbersome and ritualistic and eventually developed into a religion of works. Now we know that they were religious men. They were given to prayer. We read about Pharisees who loved to stand in the street corners to be seen of people and made long prayers. We know that they were given to Bible study. They knew the doctrines of this book. They were given to the teaching of God's law. They were given to worship. They never missed the house of God on the Sabbath day. And they were also given over to making converts. Nothing pleased them more than to proselyte others into the Jewish religion. They were holy men who kept the law. They pursued purity with a passion, and they wanted nothing more than to live lives that pleased God. But despite all this religious activity, they didn't truly know the Lord, and they had no testimony. They were sincere, but albeit they were sincerely misguided. They were cold and ritualistic, legalistic. They rejected Christ when he came, and this was Paul's background. His sinful background. He was so zealous in his religion that he persecuted Christians unto death. We've read about it here. Look, for example, at verse 10 and 11. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. This was misguided zeal. But this was his past. And everyone has a past. A life of sin behind them of various kinds and degrees. Maybe a religious past, like the apostle here. Maybe a sinful past, and the deep-dyed sins of the world, but you have a past. And the point I'm making is this: you have sin in your life that needs to be pardoned and forgiven if ever you are to have a true testimony before God and to be able to say in your heart, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. So there's a sinful past. In every testimony, there's also a saving moment. Paul speaks about the moment in his life when he was converted. It was his Damascus Road experience. He tells how he met Christ. He was on a zealous mission to arrest and, I'm sure, to kill Christians, having obtained permission from the highest authority, from the high priest and also the chief priests. He was traveling to the city of Damascus when God stepped into his life and saved him by grace. Look at verse 13. At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Here's the moment of all moments, the day of all days, and the experience of this man when he's remarkably saved by grace. What a transformation takes place. And you need such a moment in your life. You need an encounter with the Son of God. Oh, it'll not be, I'm sure, as dramatic as this one, but every bit as powerful and as life-changing. You need to be saved. If you're to go to heaven, you need to come to the Savior. You need to turn from your sin and receive the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's what happened in the experience of Saul of Tarsus. A saving moment. Have you got it tonight? That moment in your life? And then, with the apostle, there's a serving present. I told you earlier that that moment of conversion doesn't end at all. That's only the beginning. There's a life now to live. When you get saved, You live a sanctified, serving life. From the moment Saul of Tarsus was converted, God had a job for him to do. He was involved in the greatest of all works, and that is bringing others to Christ. Look at verse 16. The Lord said to him, "Rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." And Saul was not disobedient to this call of God in his life. He immediately became a witness for Christ. He began right there in the city of Damascus until he had to flee because his life was in danger. He then went to the city of Jerusalem where he continued this ministry. And then he visited the other regions of Judea. And then he eventually went to the Gentiles. We think of the great missionary enterprise in his life. Those journeys that Paul went on from city to city, from town to town, from village to village, bringing the message of Christ and turning men unto the Savior. And of course, it got him into all kinds of trouble, as sometimes gospel work will. But he continued with that work. And then if you look at verse 22 and verse 23, here's his up-to-date testimony. "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles." You and I, once we find Christ, once we are converted, we have a work to do. And it ought to be our chief desire to bring others to Christ. Family members, friends, neighbors, acquaintances. And if God calls you to be a missionary, then you should be prepared to be a missionary wherever he leads you. In fact, there is a sense where every Christian is a missionary. I can remember one preacher saying one time, "If you're not a missionary, you're the mission field." You want to think about that phrase. If you're not a missionary reaching out on a mission for God to see others brought to Christ, well then you really are the mission field. You are the ones that need to be reached with the gospel. I would say to all of us tonight, let's lift up our eyes afresh and look at the fields that are white already to harvest. Let us be obedient unto the Lord and to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. A serving present. Are you serving the Lord? And then you'll notice that there is a secure future. I just want to mention this in passing. From the day of conversion, Saul of Tarsus had a certain future. He knew where he was going. He was going to heaven. His immortal soul was bound for glory. Have you got this confidence tonight? Have you got this certainty and assurance? Oh, you make sure you have a testimony. You make sure that you've come to Christ, that there's been that saving moment in your life, and that you are bound for heaven. For if you're not bound for heaven, there's only one other place that you can go. And then I just want to close with saying to you, there is a significant impact here. You see, our testimonies ought to challenge others. It ought to make them think. It ought to bring them to a serious contemplation of their own spiritual state before God. King Agrippa was deeply moved and affected here, as we read in verse 28, where he says, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." I see Paul standing before this king, witnessing to him, giving his testimony how he found the Lord, seeking to persuade him to turn to Christ and become a child of God. And Agrippa was moved, undoubtedly moved. There was something happening in his life. There was something happening in his heart. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But we know, by all accounts, Agrippa did not become a Christian. But it did have an impact. And your life and mine ought to be a challenge. Even if it doesn't bring people right through for the Lord, like this case here and the incident before us in the life of King Agrippa. Oh, may God Almighty help us to be influential, to make men think about their soul, to make men think about their destiny, and to bring that challenge that will make them sit up and at least think about their spiritual and eternal state. It is my prayer that, first of all, you will have a testimony to the saving power of God in your life, that you will live a life of service, and that life of service that you live and the witness that you become will be a challenge to those that you meet with and have an impact upon their lives. And may it please God that some will find Christ and that they will be altogether persuaded, as Paul's desire was, that the king and everybody else that listened to him that day would be altogether persuaded to be a Christian. That's my prayer. Talking to one of the ministers here that attended this morning after the service, and we're just relating the fascinating story of Gypsy Smith and his conversion, and rejoicing in the fact that we're told that he never preached without there being converts. His ministry had an impact. May we have a little bit more of that, brethren and sisters, in our lives, in this church, in all of our churches, in all of our lives, and be the means of bringing others to the Savior. Think upon these things tonight. Let the Word of God, this testimony and the testimony that we've heard from Darren, be a challenge to you. Sit up and think about what you've heard. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you tonight for the reality of God's salvation. When a person is converted, and there is that evidence of conversion, as we have it with Paul, as we have it with Darren, and every true child of God here tonight, there's a moment in the life when conversion takes place, and then there's a life that is lived for the glory of God thereafter, the very evidence that the grace of God dwells in us. And Lord, we want that to be a witness. We want our testimony to have an impact upon others. We want to be influential in leading men to Christ. Paul was given this task, this wonderful privilege, and we thank thee that he was not disobedient, but immediately set upon preaching Christ. There in Damascus, then Jerusalem, other parts of Judea, and then in his great missionary enterprise, reaching the Gentiles with the gospel. Lord, for any in this meeting who are not saved, bring them to Christ tonight. Give them a true testimony to your saving grace for Christ's sake. Amen and amen. There's a lovely hymn. We used to sing it years ago. You would have found it in gospel meetings, nearly every gospel meeting. Don't sing it so often now, but I think you know it well. Just as I am, without one plea. We're going to sing four verses, 1, 2, 5, and 6. Wherever you are tonight, here in the building, or maybe sitting at home, if you're not saved, you don't have a testimony, this is how you come to Christ. You come just exactly the way you are, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. I'm going to say in your heart tonight, O Lamb of God, I come. May you come to the Savior, even as we sing the closing hymn. meeting's over. We'll pronounce the benediction just in a moment. If you are concerned at all about your spiritual state, your soul, we're here. If we can help you, come and speak to us after the meeting. I'll go to the door. We'll stand at a distance as we do in these days, and we'll just say goodnight to you. And if Darren would like to come down to the door as well, he'd be very welcome to do that. Heavenly Father, we just seek your blessing now upon what we've heard, the testimony that your child has brought, and the testimony of Saul of Tarsus. We pray that you will write it upon our hearts, help us to think seriously about our own state, to make sure that we have a testimony, that we are rightly related to God, that we know Christ as our personal Savior, that our sins are forgiven, and that we have obtained pardon and peace. Separate us with your blessing now, in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.